we just kneel together before we start again? Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for the teaching you've been giving us and giving us glimpses of some of the history in years gone by. And there's individuals, men, who read your word, and they were filled with your spirit, and they rose up and followed you with all their heart. And there's many that were killed because of it. There's many that made differences in their life, in their lifetime. And I ask God, in Jesus' name, would you burn within our bosoms today? God, would you stir us in the inner man? I ask, Lord, that there would be grace upon us, and ask, Lord, that help us to humbly serve you with all of our hearts. God, we ask that as we open the Bible, the Word of God, it could burn in our bosoms again. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to look at a different subject here today. As youth, I know that I had that as for myself when I was a young man. And it's also one of the questions that came on the topics for discussion. The question about building personal convictions. I know for many of you, maybe you look at your father and maybe the leaders in your church and you look at admiration at some of the convictions and some of the things that burn in their hearts and you know it's right. And you ask yourself the question, what can I do to build convictions in my own life? You identify with that? I know you do. Many of you do. And that's a good question. That's a good question. And it's a right question to ask. And my desire this morning would be to maybe give you some assistance in stepping forward with that. I know for... In order to build convictions, there needs to be a solid platform to move forward on. I'd like to help you with that. Turn with me for an opening scripture to 2 Timothy. If you could do that, just for an opening scripture. 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do you believe that? As you know, there's many that pull out a verse here and pull out a verse there, and they push away certain books and certain sections, and they say, that's not for us today, but we don't want to do that. Okay, building convictions, one of the things that I feel is important for us to understand, that much of the Bible is written and it has a lot of principles in that we need to make practical application to. And there's many that when we share and we talk about some conviction or something we see as important, they'll say, well, that's not in the Bible. Who all's heard that? Many, right? They say, well, that's not in the Bible. The reason they say that is because it's not spelled out in the Bible. That's why. But the Bible is full of principles. That's why it never grows old. Okay? That's why it never grows old. If God would have needed to write about everything we face today and spell it all out in the Bible, it wouldn't have applied for the last 2,000 years. Okay? But today, we're facing things that they didn't. They faced things that we didn't. And so there's principles in the Bible, in the Word of God, that as we look at these principles, we are required to make practical application for them in our day. And first of all, in doing that, I'd like to just encourage us with one thing. There's many that have the attitude when you hear, whether you're leaders or whether you're parents, discourage something or share that's not really, I feel, the way that God wants us to go, and it's because your leaders or maybe your parents have, as they've read the Bible, there's principles that have started stirring and they just have a check in their spirit about some of those things. And then many of us ask the question, what is wrong with that? Let me give you something else to ask in its place, okay? If I can do that, rather ask, can you explain the principle behind that? Can you explain to me why you feel that way so I can understand better? Is that a better question? Rather than saying, what's wrong with that? So if we want to build convictions in our own hearts, we need to be open to the idea that there's others that have the convictions that they do because they've been studying the Scripture, and as they've been doing that, there are things that have built up in their hearts and there's longer term visions and goals that have come that has helped them to see things that maybe you don't see as of yet. So you ask the question, can you explain that more so I can understand it? Because I'd like to get the heart of it. I want to do what you are recommending to me, but try to help me understand the heart of it is a better suggestion or better thing to do. There are many who maybe have gotten burnt by focusing on application. And where your parents maybe have come from, they've looked at various things and they've realized that there has been a focus just on the application and they have no idea what principle is behind it. In many of your parents' backgrounds that are here, maybe you didn't know why the ladies cover their head. Maybe you didn't know why the ladies wear dresses. Maybe you didn't have any idea why it's good for a man to have a beard. I'm not saying that everyone has to have a beard, but God made it grow on my face and I really don't have the conviction to shave it off. So I've let it grow because God made me that way. And yet it's not a big doctrine of mine. Now, my intent here this morning is to just go through a couple things that are quite familiar with us, and I need your help. And what we'd first like to do is look at the subject, and then you help me discern what's the principle behind it, and we'll write it on the board, you know, what the principle is. You know, what's in the Bible, what principle is behind it, and then we'll try to make application to that principle. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay? And I purposely chose this one to start, and I hope you young men can bear with me. But I purposely chose one that on the young men's side here, because I felt that's a good place to start. And and we're going to start with a very simple one. Young men's haircuts. Okay? And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you can have a lot of discussion about that. But can you tell me, I'll just put it on here as men's. Can you all see it here? We'll put on here men's hairstyles. Okay. Young men, can you give me some scriptures, some principles that the Bible gives in this area? Yes. Okay. And what is that specifically? Okay. A shame. To have long hair. Okay. That's a good one. Is there others? Is there any other principles in the Bible that would apply to this? Yes. Okay. One about modesty. And not attracting attention. If I misspell something, have mercy with me. Okay, is there more? Is there other principles in the Bible that would help guide us in this specific one? Ladies, do you have any ideas? Yes. Let all things be done decently and in order. Good. Did you think of any more? Yes. Very good. It's good, good. Be not conformed to this world. Okay, and then there's another verse in 1 Peter that says, not passioning yourselves according to your former lusts. And if you look in the context, what the context is that before we were converted, we fashioned ourselves according to the lusts of the world. But now we fashion ourselves according to Christ. And it specifically talks about, it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance. Not fashioning ourselves. According to our former lusts. To our former lusts. That's good. Okay. Those are some good principles, right? And so, as we look at that, that gives us some direction, doesn't it? Now, it doesn't say that we need to part our hair in the center or on the side, or that, you know, it has to, you know, it doesn't give specifics, but it gives us a general idea of how it should be. Isn't that right? Then it also, here it specifically says not to fashion ourselves to our former lusts, which means that there are things out there that are happening that it specifically says we shouldn't conform ourselves to that, not follow after. Okay, now let's make some practical application to the principle. Young men, can you help me? What are some specific things that we should do and not do according to those principles that you know is right or wrong? Can you help me with that? Okay, no ponytail. That's good. There's men that walk into our place of business with these long ponytails frequently. Yes. You have one? Okay. Can you help me? Yes. Okay. Hippie style. Or we put on a light country singer. Good. That's a style right now, isn't it? Don't shave your head. Good. What are the things we shouldn't be doing? Or maybe we should be doing. Any others? What are some styles among some of the people we associate with that, you know, just there's something wrong with that? Can you help me? Yes. Long sideburns. Do you know where that comes from? It has kept on through the ages, but Elvis Presley was a big one. You know who he was? A rock singer. No. Long sideburns. And for some of these, well, you know, some of these might not be a problem, but you know, right here especially, this one comes right into where we live right now, very strongly. And some dads, or maybe leaders in church say, what's happening, boys, young men? Why are these long sideburns coming on? The reason is because there's fads and fashions going on in young men. If you want to build convictions, you look at the principles in the Word of God, and you grab a hold of that. That's the truth. That's something that's right. And I'm going to follow the Bible. This one's clear. That this one lines up with this one very, very strongly. Yes. Okay. That's good. I like that. Now, a young man in our world today, and it's creeping into the churches, that young men put their hair up on end and they flop them around loosely and it looks like a mop. You know what I'm talking about? Does that fit any of these? It does. It fits this one pretty good, doesn't it? Okay. You want to build some convictions, young men? You want to obey the Bible? That's how you do it. No mop hair. I'll just put on no mop hair. Okay? Now you're getting the point, aren't you? Right? What else? You know, yes. Okay, hair down to your eyes. Hair to eyes. Okay, good. That's good. You know, those things are, that's real. You know, we're not here trying to make one little mold of application that this is the way to do it. What we're trying to do here is look and make some application and say, you know, this is what the Bible says, and we want to obey that. We want to do that. That's what we want to do. We need to make application. But when we do that, there's these other people all around that say, they're just, Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say I can't have mop hair. You know, you'll hear that. Okay. Let me give you one more. A goatee. You know what that is? Okay. Okay. Let me read you something. Let me read where it came from. This is what Wikipedia says. Says that the goatee, it says a style dates back to the ancient Greece and ancient Rome, where the god Pan was traditionally depicted with one. When Christianity became the dominant religion and began coopting imagery from pagan myth, Satan was given the likeness of Pan, leading to Satan traditionally being depicted with a goatee in various things. Okay? Now, many Christians walk around here with a goatee. And it says that it began with the Pan God. Now, Satan is depicted with a goatee. And there's Christians walking around with goatees. Is that a good practice to have, young men? That comes pretty close to home sometimes, doesn't it, young men? There's possibly a lot of friends that you might have that have it. And if you want to be real practical and make practical application to these scriptures, we need to reckon that those things do not fit in. But if you start building convictions like that, you're going to be judged as, wow, you're adding to Scripture. You're taking the Bible way beyond what it's saying. But brothers and sisters, young men and young women, we want to do what the Bible says, don't we? So if you want to build conviction, Just do this. You know, find scriptures, find principles, and make practical application to your lives. It'll help you build convictions. What do we have to erase then? Get rid of this, and we'll start with another one for the young ladies. Okay. Let's start with our women's dresses. There's a lot of people that say that, well, the Bible doesn't say for women to wear dresses. that right, young ladies? I've heard that so many times. The Bible doesn't say you need to wear dresses. I know quite a few people that have thrown off their dresses and started wearing pants because the Bible doesn't say you have to wear dresses. Does it? Okay, let's start with some principles. Ladies, can you give me some principles that the Bible gives? Yes. Very good. No men's clothing. That's good. All right. More. Yes. Okay. Modest apparel. Let me just ask the question. Do you know what this apparel means? Yes. Clothing. Clothing. And it specifically, if you look it up, it means loose hanging garment. Catastola. Catastola. Loose hanging garment. Good. Yeah. All right. More. What other principles come into play here? Yes.
Along the same lines, 2 Peter 5. Likewise, younger people, submit yourselves to God, to your elders. Yes. All of you submit to one another and be clothed with humility.
Clothed with humility. Clothed with humility. Good. You men are allowed to speak too. But, hey ladies, you have some more? What are some principles that the Bible talks about that we can refer to or that we refer to when we think of ladies wearing dresses? And not only wearing dresses, but what kind of dresses? Young men, do you have some? Yeah. Not form-fitting. Okay, but do you have a scripture in mind specifically? That's an application. It's good. Okay, now let me give you a couple. With sobriety, yes? Sobriety and shamefacedness. Okay, let me give you a couple more. Yes? Discreet and chaste. It's good. Anymore? Okay. With shamefacedness, yeah, after the manner of the old women. Women of old. How does that end there? Subject. Others. Yeah. Yes, exactly right. Not fashioning yourselves after the former lust. Not fashioning according to former lust. Others? Not conform to this world. Okay, let me give you a couple more. In Genesis, the Bible says that Adam and Eve, they made themselves aprons with fig leaves. God looked at that and said, that's not sufficient. He's going to give them coats. He's going to cover them properly. Okay? That means he covered them. And the idea was to hide their body. Is that right? Hide the body. So, aprons. When I think of aprons, I think shorts. That's what I think. Now people say, oh, you can have modest shorts. I think apron, and God said, that's not enough. I'll make you coats. Okay? We could on here, we'd also put on here, no outward adorning. No outward adorning. Okay. And I think we'll leave it at that. Okay. Now, let's start over here. Now, to practically put these things, practically, what is it supposed to look like? Or not supposed to look like? First of all, not form-fitting, and let's put over here, it's to hide the body. Hide the body. Now, consider with me, if it's supposed to hide the body, it needs to be thick enough, have enough layers, and not too tight, right? If I pull my shirt in here real tight, my pants, all of a sudden it becomes very form-fitting. Right? That's how it is for dresses. Ladies' dresses should not be form-fitting, and they should be should hide the body, should be loose. Can you help me? What else should we put on here? What practical application should we make here? Yes. Okay. No decorations. Why? See, this let me see. No decoration would line up with this one right here. No decoration. Hiding the body would be humility. Where do we have humility? Oh, close with humility. And it would also be Adam's no aprons. No aprons. Okay. What are more things? Yes. No loud colors. Oh, a loud color. What's a loud... Who can tell me what a loud color... Or what is a loud color? Anyone? Right, but can you give me a color that's loud? Neon green. All right, neon green. It's good. Or bright red. Right? I'll just be honest with you. If I see someone with a bright red shirt on or a neon green, you know what happens? My eyes go. I'll be honest, they do. Why? Because it catches my eye. It's an attraction to my eye. Don't do that. Okay? Other things? Let me just say it this way. Back at home, we've decided that skirts and blouses just don't fit into this category right here. If you go to the store and buy a skirt and a blouse, those clothes are specially designed by designers to show the body and not to conceal it. So we have chosen to make that a practical application. Am I allowed to put that on here? No, skirts and blouses. Now with that, I'm not saying that there's no skirts and blouses that are modest. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the general run of skirts and blouses don't meet this criteria. So we're just moving away from it. That's right. It also doesn't meet this criteria of a two-layered garment. It doesn't meet that criteria as well. It's good. So we make these specific decisions because they don't fit into this category of principles. And so we look at it and say, we need to make practical applications, and this is how we do it. So young men and young women, if you're saying, how did the leaders of the church, how do they have the convictions that they do? How is it? This is how. We have exercised ourselves in reading the Bible and understanding. And I, even to this day, I'll read a verse and I never saw that. That fits right. That's a beautiful principle with this application, you know, with these other scriptures. That just fits right in there together. If you want to build godly convictions, young men and young women, you do this. You take the Word of God and these principles and you just simply make practical application to your life. And the church and your parents will help you do that. Because the Bible is largely written in principles like this, this Bible is compatible in another country where they can't do exactly how we maybe do it. But they will do it, and they will still, if they're serious about following God, they'll still obey these principles in a different way. That's a blessing, isn't it? And yet with that, there's hundreds and thousands of Christians, so-called Christians, that will say, you're adding to the Word of God. You know, why are you doing that? That's not necessary. You know, and they look just like the world and they fit in with the world and their heart moves right with them and away from God. Let me just put another one on here for you young men. Young men, did you know that women are bent on, it's a part of their makeup to do what men like? That's a part of their makeup. My wife likes to please me. She does. And so there's a major, it's a part of a woman's makeup to do things because she wants to be liked and appreciated. And there's a temptation, young men, if your likes are down the line of this fashion and all these other things, our sisters over here will tend to dress that way. I'd like to just encourage you, young men, you start liking modesty. You start liking those things that are from God and that God is meant what God really intends for the woman to be and do, and it'll also affect them. It'll affect them if you do that. So, you know, we're talking to the ladies over here, but young men, it's just as much on your part. Just as much. Your part. Now, let me just read a couple of these verses quickly. I don't have time to, but I want to. Genesis 3:7, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And unto Adam also and to his wife Eve did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. That's chapter 3, verse 21. Here's another verse. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-6. For this is the will of God, even to your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you. Sisters, do you know what it means to defraud? Defraud means to yes. It means to stir something up in another party that can't lawfully be fulfilled. Okay? It means to stir something up. So if you dress in such a way to stir things up that cannot lawfully be fulfilled, listen to this. That every one of you, actually let me just back up and read it again in light of that. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. That's a context. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother, stir up passions and things that cannot lawfully be fulfilled. Then it says, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. 1 Timothy 2:9, in likewise also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest means appropriate. Modest means something that is fitting and right for a born-again, Bible-believing Christian that exemplifies Christ. That's what modest means. It means appropriate. Appropriate to the Christian. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. I'm trying to determine whether I should take the next one. I think I will. I might need to cut some things short here, but I think I will. The next one that I want to take is music. And there's a lot. And when you think of music, there's a lot of people that say that music is immoral. And you can preach. I've preached many messages on music, and I can't do much today here. But I'd like for you to first of all consider what the word immoral means. Is there something that, or is there someone that could help me with that? What does the word immoral mean? Yes. Yeah, that it's neutral. That's good. The word immoral means that it's neutral. And is when people say that, they're specifically talking about the tone of music. When people play music, that the music itself is immoral and it's only the words that give meaning. Let me give you an illustration of a tone, and you tell me if by my tone can make a difference. Son, why did you do that? Son, why did you do that? Did that make a difference? It did, didn't it? Big difference. If you go through your Christian hymnary, and it won't take the time to do it, okay? But if you go through your Christian hymnary, the music that is chosen for the songs have, you know, there's a wide variety. But the music, if you go through the section that is for funerals, the way that music is written is more somber. Some of the songs that write about heaven are more joyful. Now, can you imagine the song Joy to the World? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. There's excitement, right? And the reason is the way it's written. So there's notes and tones in that, in the way that it's written to portray something. All music, whether it's sung, or whether it's done by instrumental, carries a message. Professional writers say that it carries a message. The Christian people who are trying to say that contemporary music is okay, they're the ones that are saying music is immoral. So we're talking about music. Okay, and we're not going to have an all-conclusive list here. We're just going to do it quick. But on music, can you tell me what some principles are in godly music? Yes? Okay. Pure, just, true, good report. I'm sorry. Noble, sorry. Okay. It brings glory to Christ. Okay. Let me just give you a couple. Here are some of the principles. Sound doctrine. Did you know that there's a lot of songs being written today that don't have sound doctrine? So let's put down sound doctrine. Also put on here clear, distinctive words. It must not defy the laws of good music. Okay? And I'll be the first to say that I am not as educated in music as many are. But there's a lot of laws of good music. When people write music, there's good music. And it's also what is classed as things that are slurred together. If I speak English and I speak good grammar and good pronunciation, that's excellence, right? If I speak in a way where my words are slurred together, and different, and have the grammar all mixed up, that means I have bad English. All right? The same is true with music. And what you have in a lot of the more contemporary, both music and also songs that are written, is you have a lot of music that defies good laws of music. It defies that. And it would take a long time to explain what all those things are. Okay? But good music must not defy the laws of good music. Must. Another one is, it must edify and not entertain. Right? Most of what you see in the world today is entertainment and not edification. People will argue, well, I'm edified with all that. It really gets me going. Okay? But it's emotion. Must be edified. Okay. Tones. Now let me just also explain that music has tremendous power. Music has tremendous power. If I put my children in our van, and I put a CD in there, and if I put the wrong kind of music in, do you know what's going to happen? Yeah, all of a sudden, they're jumpy. They get all worked up, and all of a sudden, it affects their body. Good music should not be doing that. Good music is to edify the heart, and to encourage us. Did you know that dance music is a certain kind of music put together? If people go dancing, they'll put on dance music, and it gets them all going, and it does. And some people put dance music to Christian lyrics or to Christian music. And people listen to that. Oh, I was so moved by that song. Songs have the power to make us cry or to make us laugh. Just by the music that's with it. There's some songs that, you listen to it. And I've had people tell me that, oh, that song, it just moved me. That song was anointed. And you know why they say that? Because the song was, as it played it, it just, Oh, it moved them and it made them almost cry. And there's really nothing spiritual about the song, but it almost made them cry. Music does that. That's not good music. I could go on and on, but let me just put some things in here that is specifically wrong. Contemporary Christian music is wrong. And I could go to a lot of detail of why, but contemporary Christian music, there's a lot of things that are tied in. They use music that used to be rock music 50 years ago. That's the music that's played with it. And actually, many times worse, that's the music that's played. There's also light hymns that are just very questionable, as well as Southern gospel. So much of that is simply entertainment. A couple of years ago, we put it up on the wall at home for our brothers at home in giving a teaching on some of that. And you would be shocked if you go to some of those places and you'd see what kind of a crowd's there and what's really going on. It is entertainment and it's not from God. There's also at home we one of the things we did is we there's these songs of life and praise, faith and praise, that's it, songs of faith and praise, songs of faith and praise. Our youth were starting to sing a lot of that, you know, out of those books. And we still have them in our homes. But we steered away from that book. There's a lot of good songs in those song books, but there's a fair amount of songs in there that are just, it's the step just before the real contemporary stuff. It's the in-between stuff. It's just questionable enough that we're not singing out of them on a regular basis. We have them in our homes for, and we pick songs out, but we're just steered away from that. Why? Because it was in that contemporary line. A lot of the praise and worship that you hear today, you know, people, you know, they spend an hour or so with praise and worship in the beginning of a service. A lot of that is very redundant, has very little, it's shallow in its meanings, and has very little spiritual depth to them. Plus a whole lot of bad music that goes with that. Let me just name some of the specific groups to steer away from. And there's a lot more than this. And you might have heard some of these. You might have heard some of these. Maybe you didn't. I'm glad if you didn't. But in our circles with some of the people that we have fellowship with in the past, there are many that are into this kind of stuff, and it's wrong. Let me just name some of the groups. Stephen Curtis Chapman, Gaithers, Casting Crowns, Michael Smith, Sound Signature, even Nelson Koblenz Singers. They used to say this way, Nelson Koblenz Singing Group, they used to say that the people who produced their music was after them to put a stronger beat in it so it would attract more people. Well, they didn't used to do it, but they have a very strong beat in there these days. Even Nelson Koblenz Singers. Steer away from that kind of thing. Amos Raber. Amos Raber is one of those that steer away from those. Sentimental love songs. There's a lot of music that's got sentimental love songs and country crossover songs. The kind of songs that you listen to and it sounds, like, you know, lifting up Christ and loving Christ. But then in the middle of it, you really, the question comes, was this a country song? Is this intended for my lover or for God? What people have done, they have taken country songs, changed some of the words to make it a gospel song. They've done that. Steer away from those. And with much, there's simply a spirit of entertainment. Here's some scriptures. Ephesians 5. Speaking to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? And there's a lot more, but I'll stop with that one. I would like to simply encourage, in this whole line of music and singing, I would like to encourage you youth to start loving good singing. I'd like to just lift that up real high, youth. At home, we have a couple families that over the last quite a number of years have loved singing. And guess what's happened in our church? Guess what's happened? It's spread. We've got a whole bunch of youth that enjoy good singing. They love to get together to sing. They love good music. They love to just sing and learn good music and learn good singing and they just enjoy it so much. I'd like to lift that up. Good singing is wonderful. Go after it. So much of this other stuff is garbage and rubbish. I'm horrified. I go home, at home, I go into the Christian bookstore that's owned by Mennonite people, and it's filled with all this contemporary stuff. And I literally, there's very little stuff you can get that I can get off that shelf that I'm comfortable with. And there's probably 200 different albums on there. And there's very little stuff on there that I feel comfortable with. I'd like to just tell you, as I've observed youth over the years, you show me people that are involved with bad music, whether it's country music or contemporary Christian music, and I will show you a person who is losing out spiritually. Every time. Every time. Just because they sing good music doesn't say they're good Christians. But if you get into some of those things, it will control you. It will control you. Music is powerful. Yes. That's right. exactly right. That's right. And God was the author of good music. In fact, it says that Lucifer was created with pipes. Two different things. Pipes and, I'm sure what the other one is, I forget. But Lucifer is created with two different instruments built into his own makeup. And so, he's the author of all bad music. And guess what? He's going to use that bad music to turn people away from God. He will. He will. But, like you said, there's a big difference between good music and bad music. But remember, if you listen to bad music, it will affect you. I have had a number of people who've come to me and they've put away their bad music. This is what they tell me. They said, when I came to a hard thing in my life, I would put on that music and I would turn that volume up to drown out my problems. One brother said, you know, I moved away from bad music, and then one day I had major problems. And my young son was taken to the hospital. Things were in a chaotic mess. And he said, my child was being transported to another hospital, and I went out to my car just devastated and ready to go to to the other hospital where the child was. And he said, as I stepped into my car, this is one of the brothers from our fellowship, he said, as I stepped into my car and started driving, there was something that rose up in me that wanted to again put that bad music, that contemporary music in and just turn it up again. Of course, he didn't have it anymore. But there's something inside of him that just rose up that wanted to do that. Pursue good music. There's other things I was going to share here as well, but I'll stop with that. But consider, I know all of you youth have a desire to grow in personal conviction and godliness. I know you do. And sometimes you wonder, leaders in church and my parents, how did they come to the convictions that they do? And I want my convictions to grow. Let me just tell you, this is how you gain convictions. You look at principles and you start applying them. Lord, how can I practically apply this in my life? And there's a lot of things that we could talk in this whole area of practical. You know, there's various things that in the church, there's a consciousness that we need to have in functioning with a local body, and it's right for a local body to make an application for all of us as a body. Those are right things to do. But I'd like to just encourage you, start making practical applications in your life, taking these principles and asking God, Lord, how can I practically follow you in this area? Lord bless you.